It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday with our three listeners. We're so excited to have these guys around. Well, we're up to four, I think. I don't know. Absent, A-W-O-L, my co-host, my bestest friend, my good fishing buddy, which I can out fish him, by the way, Mark Tobin. Mark, where in the world are you? Lost this morning? Oh, I'm sorry. Mark, are you lost this morning?
I am. I worked on very little sleep last night. But, oh, my gosh, Fred, I just had the best time last night. I was in Springfield, Missouri last night at the new museum that has opened up down there. Johnny Morris has outdone himself. Have you heard about this new museum?
No, I sure didn't, Mark.
Well, you're going to. This is one of the most – it is the most spectacular outdoor wildlife-related museum in the world. This is really – off the charts. I just cannot tell you how impressed I am with this place. Now, the reason I was down there was there's a fund. It's called the Heritage Fund. It's in conjunction with the Missouri Conservation Department.
Uh-huh.
And they had their award ceremony last night, and this all revolved around the opening of this new museum.
Oh, cool.
And this Wednesday was the grand opening, and they had former presidents George Bush and Jimmy Carter in attendance. They had Kevin Costner and Mark Wahlberg, the actors, were there. I mean, this was a huge deal.
Evidently.
And so we get down there, and they were honoring Bill Dance and Jimmy Houston and Roland Martin last night for their conservation efforts throughout their career.
Wow!
And so we got to be there for the dinner and the awards ceremony, and I got to meet all three of them. I know Jimmy, and we've had Roland Martin on our radio show, and we will be soon having Bill Dance on the show. I got to talk to him last night.
Oh, good!
And we before the dinner, they were taking pictures, and I got to have a picture with the three of them. And I looked at Bill and I said, "You know, you're the only one of these three that I haven't had on our radio show." And Jimmy said, "Oh, he'll do it." And then Bill said, "Yeah, I'll do it."
So, good power slam. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
You had to embarrass him in front of the folks, you know.
So I said, "Bill, you know, I need your phone number." And so he's still standing there taking pictures. So in between smiles, he'd give me three digits of his phone number. And then he'd smile for another picture. And then he'd give me another three digits of his phone number. But I'm telling you, what wonderful people. And I just got to tell you about this museum. There's an aquarium. It's called Wonders of Wildlife, and it's an aquarium and a wildlife museum. And we had just a little bit of time to go tour the aquarium. Now, we didn't get through probably maybe one-third of this thing in a half an hour. And you walk in, and this aquarium, it's just an aquarium, and it's cool. I mean, it's a saltwater aquarium, and it's got all these different kinds of species of fish, and it's cool. But I thought, yeah, you know, it's cool, and that's about it. But then you walk around this corner, and then there's another room that opens up into a theme, and then you go upstairs, and there's another room with another theme, and then you go into another room, and then you go up, and you go down. And
wow.
Everywhere you turn, there is a different theme to an outdoor part of the outdoor world, and it's just spectacular. Every time I turned a corner, I'd look, and I'm going, wow, this is really cool. And then I go around another corner, wow, this is really cool. And like I said, I don't think we got through maybe half of the aquarium part. We didn't get to the wildlife part, and by the time I got through that much, I'm just blown away. It's just, there's one scene. They've got this, it's a fishing boat. It's probably a 40-foot fishing boat, real boat. And it's got two make-believe fishermen, you know, a captain and a fisherman. And this guy, the boat is sitting on water, and the water is made out of, I guess, fiberglass. But you can see it's kind of a choppy sea, and you can see the fishermen above the water, but you can see everything that's below the water, too. And this reminded me, I was in Costa Rica. We did a show for the American Outdoorsman several years ago.
Uh-huh.
And we were heading out into deep water, and off in the distance, I could see the water just getting churned up white. And so I poked the captain, and I pointed at it. Well, everybody got real excited, and he started to head toward that white water. Well, as we got closer, what it was a bunch of dolphins. And he immediately got the crew to get our rods ready, and we got our bait on. And he said, as soon as we get through into those dolphins, he said, drop your bait in the water. And we did, and immediately we all had tuna on.
Wow.
And what happens when you have dolphins like that, the tuna follow underneath them, collecting whatever the dolphins don't eat.
Sure.
And this scene at the museum was, you could see the dolphins underneath the water and the tuna with them, and you could see everything, just what I'm sure exactly what it looks like in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You could see everything below the water and above the water. And there were seagulls that they had up off the ceiling. And it's just, I'm telling you, it's just one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. But, again, kudos to Johnny Morris. This is world-class. There is nothing like this in the world. And anybody listening, you need to get down to Springfield and see this museum. It's really something to be proud of right here in the state of Missouri.
Mm, boy, that sounds exciting. did you get to shake hands with the president?
No, they weren't at the dinner. They were there on Wednesday.
Oh, I see.
But there was a lot of dignitaries there, and just to talk to. I'm telling you what, Jimmy Houston is just, you know, he is just one of the nicest people you're going to meet anywhere, and Roland Martin too. And you know, for their age, they're getting up there. I mean, they're all over 70 years old, and Roland, he doesn't look like he's, you know, he still looks like he's in his 40s. And
sure.
Bill Dance is starting to age a little bit. He's gained some weight, but just as jovial and funny, and they're just a hoot. And they were very humbled by these awards that they got, and they had a lot of neat stories. And they all talked, and the theme of the evening was conservation. And they all, each one of them, told about the early days when they were fishing personally, and then when they got involved with the BASS tournaments. But back in those days, you know, they kept and killed whatever it was that they caught, and each one of them told stories of boatloads of fish and stringers of fish and
sure.
stringers of big 6 and 8 and 9 pound bass that they'd have on stringers, and they'd go take them and flay them. And,
man.
That wasn't conservation. They, you know, they didn't know any better back then.
Sure.
And but they learned. And, you know, back in those days, tournaments were catch and kill. There was no such thing as trying to keep a fish alive. They whatever they caught, it was either they kept themselves after the tournament, or it was donated to other charities, people that would use them. But there was no such thing as trying to keep a fish alive. And Forrest Wood with Ranger Boats was one of the first people that decided that he could build something that in a boat that could keep those fish alive a little longer. And so live wells were invented out of necessity. But they all almost said to a man that those practices that they had back in those days kind of made them sick to their stomach to think about it now.
And, oh, sure.
To think of all of the resources that they wasted back then, but that's how you learn. And we didn't know back then, and they've learned, and they try to preach and the, you know, the values of catch and release and other conservation efforts. But yeah, I'm telling you, Fred, it was just it was a hoot, absolute hoot. And those guys are, you know, congratulations to them for their awards and for their lifelong achievements and the things that they've accomplished. And it was fun to be a part of it. Absolutely fun to be a part of it.
I'll bet. My goodness. You know, yours truly here never got an invite, of course.
Well, that was an oversight. But be glad.
Yeah.
Because you would not have had any sleep either. But, you know, and I'll tell you this, too. There was a lot of people from the conservation department that were there. Very gracious people. Very nice.
Cool.
And there's several people that know of our radio show.
Oh, really?
Are there and very nice and very complimentary of the show, and yeah, it was a hoot, absolute hoot. I was very humbled.
Oh, I'll be darned. Well, it was kind of major coup for you then, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And I've got several leads for us for radio shows here in the future.
Well, good.
So, yeah, some great people. Yeah, I wasn't so sure I wanted to do it because I didn't know anybody out there that I was, you know, I didn't know anybody there except I was invited by the hatchery manager from Tanicomo, which we've had on the show before, Clint Hale.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat at different tables. And but I'm telling you, this it was just a room full of the nicest people and people that just love to do what you and I do, and that's hunt and fish.
Did you overindulge or do anything stupid while you were there?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, and drank one?
Just one.
Just one?
Mostly iced tea. But.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever on the deal. You know, I've always wanted to interview Bill Dance. And the story I always got back after contacting his people was that he didn't do live radio.
I've heard that, but boy, I tell you, I don't know if it was because of pressure from Jimmy Houston.
It was.
But he's just as nice and humble of a person as you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Just so gracious and... I mean, just willing to talk to anybody and take a picture with anybody, and just a regular guy, just like anybody else. But and there was nothing like I've heard some stories too, and maybe not the most flattering. But boy, that's not the Bill Dance I met last night.
He, sure,
all three of those guys are just as good a guys as you're ever going to meet anywhere.
Yeah, you know, I was driving down. It's kind of ironic. I was thinking about Harold Inslee for some reason. And I thought, you know, the Harold Inslee that I was around was as nice and polite and one of the finest people I ever met in my life. And the stories I heard about him, 99% of them were not true, you know.
And always, no, and, man, I'm the same way. And yeah. I got fortunate enough to see him several times. And mm-hmm. What you talk about a storyteller. Not too many people could tell a story. Well, you're one of those kind of people that can tell a story.
Harold, some of mine are true, too.
Yeah.
It's up to you to figure it out. You
yeah,
know,
right. But, boy, I tell you, he knew everybody, and he fished with so many different celebrities. And you just get to get him one-on-one and get him talking about fishing, and there was no shutting him up. But, yeah, very, very nice, very humble guy as well. But yeah, I heard some of the same stories that you did. And
yeah.
I just never saw him on that level. But
yeah. Well, the old adage, Americans love success, they hate successful people.
Oh, and that's true.
And that is the truth of what it is on a deal. You know, they don't remember the it's just like when we had Jimmy on and all, and I knew Roger Moore, fished with him and hunted with him. And, you know, those guys talk about the old days when they didn't hardly have a tank of gas to get to the new tournament.
Right.
You know, and people forget all about that, you know.
Yeah, they don't know or realize the hard work that it took to get to that point. It does take nothing but a lot of hard work and effort.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that.
Where is this? Now, this is hooked on to the Bass Pro Shop there at Springfield or what?
Yeah, it's just to the north part of the Bass Pro building. And this building is just huge. I mean, I can't describe how big this thing is.
Hmm.
But it'll take you half a day to go through this, if not.
Wow, longer. Wow, a whole lot of hay then, wouldn't it?
Oh my gosh, it's truly, truly spectacular. Now I don't know that it's cheap. Now we had free tickets, but I think it costs like about $35 to go into this thing.
Probably worth it.
I'm telling you what, it'll be the best $35 you ever spent. And you know, they're not paying me to say this, but I'm telling you, I just couldn't be more proud that this is in Missouri. I don't know why he picked Springfield to do all this, but it is off the charts, spectacular museum. The wonders of wildlife, and I just can't wait to go back and see the rest of this. But
wow.
The aquarium is worth going back and seeing. They've got every species of fish and schools of fish mounted throughout this museum, on top of all of the aquariums that they have. But they have a sperm whale. This thing is probably 50 foot long, hanging from the ceiling. And they've got killer whales. There's a group of three. You come down one corner, and there's a hallway, and there's these three whales that are hanging from the ceiling. One of them has got to be the big one. That's the first one. And it's probably at least 35 feet long. And then there's two more behind it, a little smaller, but they're still in the 25-foot kind of range. And everything in between. I mean, marlin, it's just – like I said, I'm not going to do it justice trying to describe it. You definitely have got to go see this, Fred. It is just way cool.
I will venture down there to make sure. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest via the phone is Mark Tobin, usually in the studio, and he's got a justifiable absentee. That sounds like you had a cool time. Hey, we are brought to you by King City Lumber Company in King City, Missouri. My good friend Marty and Monty Tunks own and operate that corporation up there, and they're just the wonderful people. We have a lot of farmers that listen to this show, and you guys are probably wanting a loafing shed, maybe a new hay barn, maybe a place to store a new combine or a tractor, get it in out of the weather. Well, there's nobody finer, and I mean this from my heart. They built my building. They built my neighbor's building. I heard the nicest compliment about King City Lumber the other day from a lady that they just built a new garage for. And I'm telling you, these guys are class act. And if you want first-class workmanship with the best carpenters available, with A-number-one products, King City Lumber is the only place to go. Now, you got to go to their website. It is a cool, cool website. It's kingcitylumber.com, real, real simple, all one word, kingcitylumber.com. Or you can go by and see them, and you're going to really like these guys. They're 208 East Putnam in beautiful downtown King City, Missouri. But if you're looking for an outbuilding, if you're looking for the ultimate person to do business with, and the people that if you're not happy, they're not happy, they're going to stand with you. I was in one of their buildings a while back. It is 20-some years old, the guy told me. And I swear it looks like the day they built it. Unbelievable, the craftsmanship and the workability that they do on these buildings. KingCityLumber.com. You've suffered long enough. Now build your own shed or your hunting cabin or whatever you want. Get a hold of them again. KingCityLumber.com. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're brought to you by my good friend Keith Miller, MillerWeldingCompany.com for you farmers. We have so many farmers listening, and that's great. And I want to stop for just a second here. Guys, you're going to be cutting corn. A lot of you already are combining and getting work to ground. Please be careful. Don't get in a hurry out there. It'll be there tomorrow. And I hear so many accidents. I've already heard of two moving machinery down the road, and one lady got killed up here. Please just settle down, be very, very careful. I was in a farming accident once, and it happened so quick and so fast that you can't believe it. So the corn will be there, the beans will be there. Please, 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 I need all my listeners, please settle down just a little bit and slow down. Them power takeoffs are sitting there and they're ready to kill you. Please be careful. You got kids around the farm, take a little bit of extra time with them and explain to them about what the danger is in on a farm. But the commercial bins, if you guys are looking for a bin to store your corn, your soybeans in for this year and this season, your wheat, you can piddle around, and there's a lot of fly-by-nights companies. But I've known Keith now for 20-some years, and it's my honor to have him on here as a sponsor, and that's how much I think of him. I had Kelly Kurtz on, quite an outdoors guy, last Saturday, and they had built his bins up there at their farm at New Point, Missouri. And he was just kind of glowing about it. It was a brief conversation with it, but they did first-class work. So this guy takes pride in what he's doing. The only thing wrong with him is he's the workingest fella I've ever been around in my life. He needs to slow down and smell the roses every once in a while. But this guy is special. Please go to their website. If you're looking for grain storage, handling facilities, anything you're looking for, and this is Sukup is the company, and they're the first-class people that you want to do business with, MillerWeldingCompany.com. Now, you'll go to the website. You'll see Miller Welding all over the place. Scroll on down until you get to MillerWeldingCompany.com. A very impressive website. They'll come give you an estimate. He'll do the job. He'll do it professionally, and he'll do it right. And he'll stand behind you long before when this thing is said and done. This guy is a class act. I can't say enough good things about Keith Miller and that whole company. And they're located up here on 71 Highway, just north of Savannah, Missouri. If you come off I-29, go toward Maryville, Missouri, if anybody knows where that's at. But, boy, they stop by and see him up there. Got a great office and great facilities and great people that are working there. So If you're looking for quality and workmanship and you want the best, and Sukup is your deal, and then you want MillerWeldingCompany.com to install it. Wonderful, wonderful people. Can't say enough good things about them. By the magic of the phone, AWOL, with excused absence, I might add, my good friend Mark Tobin, who's been down hobnobbing with the elitist. I'm jealous, Mark.
Well, I wish you'd have been there. You would have just had an absolute blast.
I wish I'd have been there, too, but I know I looked in the mailbox. There was no invite.
I guess these tickets were pretty hard to come by.
Evidently.
And they had one extra for me, and that was it. But before we go forward, I want to go back to the ad you just did, Fred. We were talking about this last week, and I'm not a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just assume there's not that many new farmers out there, and I thought all of them would have storage bins by now, but I guess a lot of them don't. And what is the advantage to having a storage bin?
Well, one is you don't have to wait in line for 4.5 hours to unload. Two is you can hang it on the farm till the prices get right.
That's the
whole thing on the deal. And, you know, a farmer's not only just a farmer anymore. He's got to be a marketing manager. And it's such serious money with such low prices. It's terrible prices. $3.05 yesterday on the big board. And I went, gee whiz, you know, you take 20-cent dock and 20-cent to haul in. They don't stand a prayer. You know, their input cost is so much, and I've got such a soft spot in my heart for farmers, and everybody poo-poos them a little bit, but America loves cheap food. They're the best. Yep. The problem, you know what's wrong with a farmer? He's his worst enemy. He knows how to produce it better than any other people in the world.
Yep.
And this corn, it used to be marginal. They used to raise 80, 90 bushel corn. Now they're raising 204. I just talked to a guy at 246 bushel to the acre.
Good gosh.
You know, I mean, my goodness, who'd ever thought it? The fertilizer is so much better. The seed is so much better, the genetics of the seed. And they know how to do it. You know, it's and they got center pivot on some of it now. And I'm tell you, and they got such a huge investment. You know, tractors, $400,000 for one of those big ones. A field cultivator behind it, $125,000. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And then they take it to town and say, what do you give me for it?
Yeah, what an advantage that would be to be able to store that and keep
sure.
it until the prices
sure.
change.
Yeah, yeah. And
awesome.
I don't know where it's going to change, but I hope it does, you know.
Yeah.
I remember that $7 corn. Boy, everybody was giggling, but, boy, now it's $3 and a nickel. Uh-uh. This don't work, and I'm scared
rough,
what's happening. I really am.
Make a living.
Yeah, it really is, and people don't understand. Basically, people in Kansas City just don't understand what it's taken to put this all together right now, and the financial woe of it is unbearable to a lot of them. So, and you're going to hear about it, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that by January you're going to see some farm sales, and price of grain is just terrible. The erosion of the grain or the ground starting to raise its ugly head now because it's not cash flowing, and I have a soft spot for farmers, and boy they battle it every year, and it's Mother Nature takes its toll on them. So you know what,
did any teal show up?
We got that one. We were after him so bad. We hated him so bad, and he came by and got too close. We eliminated him from the program. I've never seen such a terrible teal season in my life. Of course, I've never seen 90-degree temperatures of wind in the south like this forever and ever and ever.
No kidding.
And the birds are still up in Dakotas, and talk to those guys up there. But it's, I think this is the opening weekend in North Dakota for waterfowl season.
Oh, wow.
But it's depressing. I did take a little sachet and went through Squaw Creek yesterday. And there is a lot of ducks on Squaw Creek. They got very little water. Of course, they fill the refuge with Davis and Squaw Creek. Very little water in there. But what water they had was full of teal. And the thing I know, I was watching them with my binoculars, and a lot of them asleep with their head underneath their wing. Well, that tells you that they've flown a long ways, and they're tired and wore slick, and they were R&R. And so I got this cold front allegedly coming in here on Monday and Tuesday. Maybe right before that. I figure Sunday might be a real good teal day. We'll see what happens. I've never seen it like this. You know, it's just been terrible. No, what the hey? What's the deal with fishing on Lake of the Ozarks? Hearing any good things?
Yeah, Lake of the Ozarks, Truman, both the crappie are good. It and it's really not changed over the last couple of weeks. The water is still still relatively warm, and the fish are still in their summer patterns. Now, I think this week things are going to start to change. Right now, they're still out. Main lake flats are really good. You don't have to go real deep to find them. Right now, you're catching them anywhere from 8 to 14 feet deep, and that can be anywhere from 14 to 25 foot of water.
But
main lake flats are still pretty good. Now, like I said, when that water starts to cool down this week, it's about that time. Days are getting shorter. They're going to start moving back up into coves and back up into creeks. And that initial movement, sometimes it can be a little bit tough to find those fish just because they're
sure.
moving. But that's just the signal, the beginning of the best time of the year to fish. And I'm
okay.
telling you what, it starts this month, October and November, two best months of the year to fish.
Mark, we're up against radio time. Are you going to stick around for the whole deal, or are you going away?
Yeah. No, I'll stay here.
You will? What would I have to pay you to have you go away for a while? Yeah.
The usual amount.
One quart.
Yeah. Do we have a guest in the studio?
Yes, we do. We got a fantastic guest. We don't have an average guest. I didn't want him to come eyeball to eyeball with you. I knew you were going to be gone. I wanted him to sneak in here.
That's a good move.
Yes, it was. Because I didn't want any culture shock out of the guy. You know, what the heck. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Jim Donegan is here in the studio. The departingshot.com will be on here with us. We've got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. My good partner is not in the studio. He's down the lake house. He's going fishing here in just a little bit. But in the studio with me, I have Jim Donegan with the departingshot.com. And I think you're going to want to write that down, the departingshot.com. Jim, thank you for getting up early and coming in here. We're the only people on the street, weren't we?
Red, I had to wake the chickens up. They were sound asleep when I got in the truck. Glad to be here.
Well, this will be exciting times. We got these three listeners that listen pretty regular, so it ought to really help you out here a little bit.
There are kind of people.
Yeah, right? Really. What is this thing? What are we doing here? What are we talking about?
Well, I tell you, you know how you get attached to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all of us guys in the field, we love our dogs. A lot of sunsets, a lot of sunrises, and a lot of missed shots, and they look at you like, what happened to you on that one, you know? And you've had them all your life. They're like kids.
Yeah.
And then when they die, you know, it just tears your heart out.
Yeah.
So an old buddy of mine out in San Diego was a big DU guy, and he had the best hunting dog ever. And he'd let you know that. When they got Danny Boy, Lab, he took him out and had him professionally trained, and Danny was good. So the first day they're out hunting, quail hunting down in California, and Terry says, boys, you're going to see an exhibition here. So sure enough, Covey gets up, Terry drops a double, Danny's off and running. Well, you know, Terry says, watch this, boy, he's going to bring both of them back. And a couple minutes go by, nothing. A couple more minutes, and Danny's, so the buddies go, so, well, Terry, where's Danny? Well, I don't know. He's got a good eye, but he's got bad ears. I mean, he can't hear you. So Terry starts cussing and stomping through the woods, and he finally gets into a little brush, and here's Danny with one quail in his mouth, and he's sitting on a fluttering one.
Wow.
Not letting it get away.
Wow.
Well, when Danny died, Terry, just before he died, Terry calls and says, I don't know how I'm going to say goodbye.
Yeah.
So he says, Jimmy, you told me when you die you're going to have your ashes blown out of a shotgun shell out in Kansas. And I said, yeah, I am. Well, what the heck? Let's do that for a dog's. So
sure.
We actually came up with the idea, the departing shot.
Uh-huh.
Well, we got into
wow.
trouble with trademarking it because the parting shot was some political show up in New York, so we had to fool around with those guys for a while. But anyway, we decided to do it for the love of dogs. So that's why we do it. It's a little mom-and-pop shop. We're an internet-type-based company. But all we want to do is to say goodbye in a dignified way.
Wow, that's cool. And you got a picture here of Danny the dog, and it just breaks your heart to look. I can't make myself hardly look at the dog. It's such a class act. He looks just like the one I just buried, and he's a cool-looking dog. I've never seen anything quite like him in my life. And I don't know why, you know, and this last one, of course, I'm getting older,
That's
but
it.
This last dog bothered, his death bothered me more than any dog I've ever owned. I've owned a lot of them.
Well, it's our sense of mortality. We start to feel
yeah.
that way when we get older. You know,
uh-huh.
I I've got a 9-year-old looks at me every day. When are we going out, Daddy?
Yeah.
Last year I came down with cancer, and they gave me 2 months to live. And what? Bertie didn't get to hunt last year.
Uh-huh.
So they brought her into the hospital because we weren't sure what was going on here. And she looked at me like, what are you doing here? You fool. We need to get out there. So they're in your heart, right?
Yeah.
You know that. And I'm sure, I don't know, Mark, I've not had the pleasure, but if you've been out with dogs, you know where we're going with this.
You've
got to say goodbye to them the right way, and that's what we do. We take their cremated ashes. We load them into shotgun shells that are either field ready, like these. Every opening day, I shoot one of these off for my old dog, Kimio. And we have a little ceremony, and before the day starts, or maybe at sunset, with a glass, and we'll say goodbye to them, and we'll send them right back to the fields where they did their work.
Mm.
Or we'll put them in little brass, all brass shells with their names etched, you know, engraved
wow.
on the shells in this little box. It's whatever the customer wants, but the whole idea is to make this a lasting memory because they deserve it.
Unreal. That is so cool.
That is cool. What the hey? How you doing with your cancer bout?
Well, it's a long story, but basically, I got Agent Orange,
mm-hmm.
Vietnam, and so we didn't know that till last year. And I was getting kind of weak. The boys were whipping me in the field pretty good, and so they made me block the last couple hunts. And I thought, that's not like me. So I went in and got checked. They found some fluid here and there, and it turns out I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and there's no cure for it. But it's a great bunch of people at KU Med. They're the ones that found it and have taken care of me. We had 100 tumors.
Wow.
In 4 treatments, they took 100 tumors, grew legs, and walked away.
Wow.
But it ruined my lymph system. So I was building fluids up, and we drained 250 pounds of fluid off of me last year.
Jeez.
They had no idea what to do. So this interventional radiologist, Doc Lemons, he's a great guy. I sat there, I said, you know, I don't need a surgeon. I need a plumber. Now, let's get this straight. They gave me 2 months to live, and I need a plumber. So
yeah.
I designed this little idea. You put like a French drain down in my stomach where all the fluids were because they weren't going around where they're supposed to, with a little pump, and then a tube that would run down in my heart. He says, well, my God, we do that for guys that have cirrhosis of the liver. I said, well, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, really?
Give me a few more years and I'll get there, but not now. And so he says, Jimmy, that's called a Denver shunt. So they put it in me, and it saved my life.
Wow, evidently. Boy, you look good.
Well, thank you.
You feeling good?
For a hairy-legged old Irishman.
Yeah. How you doing? You feeling all right?
Yeah.
You got
I
great
really
color.
Am.
I mean, my goodness,
well,
you sound like you could.
High blood pressure does that, Fred.
Could you? Damn.
Are you going to be able to hunt this year?
Yes, sir. I went out and tested my wings here the other day with my birdie dog. Went out to the Flint Hills and we chased some prairie chickens up. We didn't shoot any, but I just want to get my legs under me. And I'm going to tell you what, Mark, I think I'm going to give it a good run. We're looking forward to opening day up in north central Kansas. And I got the motel room set up. I've got the fields ready. And I've certainly got the attitude.
He does that.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What now, additional information, go to the website. What are they going to see on the website?
Basically, you go to the website and you'll find sort of a shopping cart thing. You can go in and look at various packages. If you just want to do field ready, in other words, we'll put the ashes and shells that you can actually shoot, or you can get a combination of things. It's pretty simple. In fact, what we do is half the time people will contact us and they'll say, well, I don't quite like what you have there. Could you do this, and that? So we'll custom. We don't care. We'll customize it.
Yeah.
I had a guy call me from Gainesville, Georgia, here about 2 months ago. He'd lost his Brittany named Bailey. And I said, well, I'm a Brittany man, so tell me the story. And he did, and it was very sad. And I said, look, we put a special package together for him. But then he says, I said, look, every time we meet somebody like you, I want to know your most favorite story about your dog. And we'll put it on our website if you want us to. He says, well, I'll tell you what. It was the last quail hunt. We were down in Georgia. We were having a nice little adult beverage. It was all over. And I'm sitting there, and Kevin Costner says to me, hey, you know what? I like Bailey. I'd like to buy Bailey. What's it going to cost me to buy Bailey? And this guy says, Kevin, you get the most expensive divorce attorney in Philadelphia, multiply it by 10, and I'm still not talking to you. My wife would throw me out of the house. So old Kevin Costner couldn't buy that one.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, a lot of people have, you know, just a dog in the house, and they become part of the family on this thing. Maybe they don't want it shot out of a shell or something.
That's right.
You know, it's just a house dog type thing. I mean, do you offer anything for those guys?
Sure. Yeah, in fact, where we found, we thought our market was all those little black boxes sitting in the closet or in the garage.
Sure.
The guys have cremated their dogs. They don't know what to do with them. So what we've done is given them an alternative. So basically, in fact, we were at Pheasants Forever up in St. Paul here a few years ago, and the guy kept looking at us at our little booth, and he says, I see your banner. It says, when your hunting buddy is gone. Well, how many legs does your hunting buddy have to have?
Yeah.
And I looked at him straight in the face, and I said, are you fixing to do a codicil under your will? And he says, I sure am.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I'm going to go.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah, we don't advertise that, but, I mean, we'll do that, too. Yeah. I mean, that's how I'm going. My wife says, what do you mean you're going to go out in a shotgun shell? I said, honey, we own the company. Yeah. How else am I going to go?
Yeah, really.
I said, I tell you what, sweetheart, I'll give you my ashes from my waist down. But my ashes from my waist up are going to Kansas.
Golly. Now, I mean, you got to find someone who will cremate the dog, I suppose. I think it's you just can't do that. I mean, there's
it's crematoriums. And the veterinarians, a lot of the guys don't do that. They, unfortunately, you know how the dogs usually die.
Sure.
So. But for those who use a veterinarian or a crematorium, we work directly with the crematorium or the vet. We take care of all the shipping of the cremains. We take care of all of that. Or if the guy already has his dog's cremains at home, you know, well, we'll send him a little plastic vial. He can send us what we need.
Wow.
And then we'll place the order, and we'll have it back to him within a couple of weeks. It's very informal. It's whatever the guys want, because what we want is for him to be happy about the way he says goodbye.
No, oh, man. You know, it's a very emotional time.
Oh.
I mean, we hand dug the grave, and it was been muddy and wet, and no one complained, and we dug it to where it's supposed to be, and it was gumbo, if you know what I mean. You can take a bite of it, it bites back, you know, and couldn't get it off your shovel.
Yep.
And it was so ironic when we buried the old Bud dog, and we're standing there, and we lower him down in the grave, and we're standing there just peace and quiet, and a bunch of snow geese get up off the field and come right over top of us. And I said, well, I said, oh, my boy, I said, they wanted to make sure he was really dead.
No. Good riddance, huh?
Dog that's been after
us. No. Make a movie out of that.
Yeah, it was just like perfect timing.
Oh.
It was just unbelievable. You just couldn't believe what was happening, you know. And if I'd had a shotgun, they were low enough, and the season was still open, I just didn't think about it. But, you know, it would have worked him over a little bit, you know, out of his honor on the darn thing.
Well, our guy in operations that does the reloading is a guy named Tom Solner. He lives out near Council Grove and Cottonwood Falls, that area. Tom's a really good old boy, and he's done the SHOT Show. He's done a lot of things for us. But Tom was telling me the other day that, you know, you get a dog that can hunt the quail and the pheasant, but you got to see a real dog take after prairie chickens.
Yeah.
He's got a couple of them out there, and that's prairie chicken country out there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to watch that. But when they're gone, I'm telling you, it's a hole in your heart that you just can't fill.
Unbelievable. I remember, I got so attached to this dog, I remember thinking years before he went, boy, I'm going to hate this. I knew it was coming. You know, I mean, it's reality. You're going to outlive your dog majority of the time. And I just think, golly, I've just got so attached to him. He's such a good-looking dog. Big old blocky-headed yellow lab and had a lot of common sense, you know.
Yep.
And I thought, man, I just hate to see the day. And, of course, my family was so bonded to that dog. And I think that dog could have done about anything he wanted in our house. You know,
well, they usually do.
Yeah.
You know, we have on our website, not to just keep plugging that, but we have a grieving section. And if you go there, sometimes if friends want us to, we'll put their dog's picture or their story, whatever. But we have the 10 Commandments of Dog Ownership.
Wow.
I want you to go and read that.
I will.
And I want you to tell me you didn't cry after you read it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean that.
Can you load those ashes in any kind of a shell or just a particular? particular?
Well, Mark, what we do is typically just the 12, 20, and 16, the okay. two and three quarter.
Can we get Mark's ashes in something, a fishing rod or something? I don't know.
Well,
I think I should be like a dough bait.
Go to the bottom, huh?
No. Well, I'm going to leave that up to you two. I'm not getting in the middle of that.
You know, my ex-mother-in-law was so hateful and mean, I would just out of vengeance, like, take her ashes and shoot them. But I suppose that would be illegal or immoral. I don't know which
well,
it is.
As long as you don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
What we've done.
Get even.
We had a dog that was so ornery. I had one. Her name was Jonesy. And she was absolutely the most competitive dog. When she died a few years ago, Tom, my buddy that loads these shells, he put her in a feel-ready shell that had enough firepower in it to take a pheasant out. And it did.
I mean, all right.
And we named that pheasant Jonesy.
Jonesy, yeah.
Jonesy's Revenge. True story.
You know, here's this guy you were telling earlier about bragging on his dog.
Yeah.
Every time I've ever bragged on my dog, he's done exactly the opposite of what I asked him to do. It's like they know and they want to get revenge, you know. And you brag on a dog, he'll let you down every time. You know,
yes.
It just amazes you. You know?
That's why they're like our kids, you know.
Exactly. I mean,
the kids know the same thing.
Huh?
You're not feeding them enough. That's probably the problem right there.
I've already heard that this year.
Yeah. Right.
Dog's getting too skinny already. It was just teal season, too, you know. I don't know what we're going to do with regular duck season. That's the deal. Boy, I tell you what, it is special to have these dogs. It's such a blessing to own a dog.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd hunt without a dog.
No. Yeah. In fact, I'm doing my bucket list, which I didn't think I'd ever say that, but we're doing a bucket list now for me. And my son's a big hunter and fisherman out in San Diego, in La Jolla. This kid's special.
People hunt in California?
Oh, yeah, right down on the border.
Wow.
Right down in the desert. Oh,
I thought they all hated us.
No, well, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They're the Californicators. Yeah. But anyway, he's a big hunter. Well, he and I are going to meet in Montana in mid-October.
Good.
And I've always wanted to do that. I said, Ryan, I'm afraid I'm like that guy on the Search for Red October, the Russian guy that didn't want to go there and took a bullet in the sub, so he never made it to Montana.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want that to be me. So we're going to go out and chase some Hungarian.
Oh.
Chase some birds like that and some pheasant. I've always wanted to go. I just lined it up, and we have some gentlemen out there that are old friends. Said, hey, you come on out. It's all public hunting. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're going to do
have
it.
You?
He's got a Vizsla. That's what I was
doing. Vizsla?
Going with that story.
Ugliest dog in America.
Oh, I'm telling you, long-legged. But they got human eyes.
Yes.
Look at those hazel eyes.
It makes you creepy to look at them.
Oh, I know. I know.
You look at them, and you go, whoa, man.
There it is.
Yeah,
right there
they are. And you go, I don't want to look at that dog anymore.
That's kind of how I feel when I look at you, Fred.
Well, I understand that.
This is starting to sound romantic. I'm going to leave.
Yeah. He don't like me anymore. I don't know what happened.
You haven't got over that invite thing, have you?
Yeah, I'm mad. I thought maybe, you know, he would, you know, since I were partners, he would be, you know, I'm not going unless Fred goes. I thought that would be the statement, but no. Mm-hmm. You know, what the hey?
Well,
you know. Have you hunted South Dakota?
Yes. Jimmy... guy's name Jim up in Bryant, South Dakota, and I really really enjoyed that.
Unbelievable.
A lot of waterfowl up there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised all the
mm-hmm.
water in that state, but yeah, it was one of those deals. It's $100 a gun, you know. We didn't know our way around, but an old friend of ours has suggested Jim Ingles to go up there, so we've been going up there for years. Jimmy's retired, he's kind of shut his shop down, but no, that's a beautiful place.
Have you heard anything of this year, the count up down there? They had tremendous drought in South Dakota this year.
I know.
Year.
I've not heard.
I haven't either. I need to research that a little bit. And a lot of the listeners go to South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
The first year I went to South Dakota, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know,
the ditches, they're everywhere.
Everywhere. You know, the season started at noon, and you look down the road. We were getting ready to hunt. It was 11:45. We looked down the road, and there's 15 standing there, and 19 over there, and 3 over here. And you go, wow.
Well, they've got a deal where for the older guys or the guys that are maybe can't get around as well, they can actually shoot.
Yeah.
You know, just step outside the car right there in the ditches. So it's for everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want a special thanks to Jim Donegan for joining us here. The departingshot.com phone number consists of an 816 area code, 896-3193, 816-896-3193. Mark, will I ever see you again?
Next week, and I'm sorry I'm not there. Jim sounds like a great guy. What a great sense of humor. I'm sorry I wasn't there. We got to have him back in the studio again here in the near future.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to have him back. He's a good guy. You know, that's what it all amounts to on the deal. So
great attitude.
Anybody can fight cancer. Speaking of great attitude, Trevin Reed just had a guy drive up from Lee Summit, Missouri, to Reed Chevrolet in St. Joseph, Missouri. And he looked Trevin in the eye and he said, "You just beat the Lee Summit dealer out by $5,000 on a brand new Silverado pickup.
Serious money.
Yeah, and he's got over 100 now, brand new and sitting on the ground. He's got it in every color, shape, size. And just wonderful. Just took my truck in, had the oil change. They treated me like I'd been around there 500 years. You know, they're just good people. Reed Chevrolet, St. Joseph, Missouri, number one Chevrolet dealer in Northwest Missouri. Go up there and see him. You'll love him. Wonderful person. So, tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time I see you, I hope I see you in the great outdoors.